He's your voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Welcome back, Dr. Brown. Sorry I totally messed up your schedule. You most definitely did tell me that you were going to be away last week, and I forgot. How was your trip?
I apologize. It was great. Fantastic. Very good. We did a little trip down to Orlando, so it was amazing.
I know. It's awesome. Did you get all your Halloween fix in your spooky season? Yeah.
We did. Universal Halloween Horrors is absolutely amazing.
I've literally never tried it. It's on my list of to-dos,
but it's
though.
Amazing.
Yeah. I've heard that. I do. It is definitely on our bucket list. Derek and I really want to try that one year. We just haven't done it yet. But one day, you recommend it.
I do. If you like haunted houses, it's like a little bit of haunted houses on steroids. Very good.
Perfect. Love that. All right. We'll just keep it on the bucket list for now. So Dr. Brown is back. And, you know, speaking of Halloween, trick or treat a little bit, this seems a little bit tricky, quite frankly. Did you hear that the health secretary, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., is now saying he has not seen sufficient evidence to link Tylenol to autism?
I have. And I know this has led a wild ride on the concerns about, you know, what the tie is. But again, I think we even talked about that there really isn't much of a tie. So I was sort of surprised.
I mean, it's again, I'm good with corrections. And I do think to some regard I think the messaging of it sounding like a definitive. So if you can kind of pull back, I think, on you know, what was actually said and what they actually meant. I want to believe that they were saying it could be a link, but the way that it was certainly delivered was very definitive.
Right.
I think that's where, and again, there's people who, especially pregnant women, who started to question and get concerned about this.
Right.
But at the end of the day, Dr. Brown, I would imagine your advice is still the same, which is trust your doctor, consult your doctor.
Absolutely. And I think this is a concern of how we have a tendency to extrapolate sort of information that we don't necessarily understand. So the mechanism of action in which Tylenol works, it can cause some reduction in vitamins in the body. And because that reduction in vitamins, people assume if there's a reduction in vitamin, then that can be then associated with things like autism. And that's just not really the way things work. And plus, one of the good reasons why women take prenatal vitamins.
So, again, yeah, I think this is it's just something that you really – you should be working directly with your primary, with
right,
your, you know,
exactly.
Your doctor,
exactly.
Certainly.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely some general concern. But again, I think the concern is that politicians making comments about healthcare is probably direct healthcare like this is probably worth looking into a little bit more with your primary care.
This is another one, though, Dr. Brown, that I at first thought, okay, because it would certainly be more affordable, possibly. But I also do worry when you make it so readily available that people won't consult their doctors. Eli Lilly and Walmart are working to increase access to the weight loss drug Zepbound, which, by the way, is, I believe, different as far as Ozempic is concerned. This was never called a diabetes drug. This was really truly a weight loss drug, Zepbound. But it says the partnership announced this week that it will let customers buy the drug directly at retail locations for the first time. Do they still need a prescription by your understanding? You'd still have
yes.
to consult a
yes.
doctor, right?
You still have to consult a doctor. You still need a prescription for that medication. It is still a prescription medication. It is not over the counter.
Okay. And this is still something. So this is really just access, essentially, versus I guess it's just to be able to have more locations to pick it up, essentially.
That's correct.
Okay.
And Walmart has actually has a pharmacy and has had a pharmacy in the past. So this is not necessarily new. I don't think this is a, you know, you show up, you know, here, give your money and then you get the drug. I mean, they still need to have. So interesting enough, this drug as well as the other weight loss medications, the issue is that, yes, it does. If you just used it, you will lose weight, but you won't keep the weight off. Either you'll stop using it or you'll figure out ways to get around it. It really is any weight loss, any weight loss program is really about, you know, how do you change your lifestyle to make sure that you're being healthier? Because ultimately, that's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. And actually, speaking of that, there was a new report. We've got Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health here. America is getting skinnier, and weight loss drugs may be the contributing factor. It says, according to self-reported Gallup poll, for the first time in more than 15 years, obesity rates in the U.S. have fallen from almost 40% in 2022 to 37% today. So we got a ways to go, but that's quite significant.
It is quite significant, and honestly, it's not really that surprising. I mean, we definitely see that this medication has had some significant improvements in people's weight. Again, I'm very careful in saying weight, because again, just because you lose weight doesn't mean that you're necessarily healthy.
Right, exactly. Well, and I think that is an important thing to note, Dr. Brown, because there are some people that I've met that maybe took the drug for X amount of time, and others that have to kind of get on and off again with it because, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not just taking the drug and seeing the weight loss and now it's done. You do have to make lifestyle changes in order to keep the weight off.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. And I think everyone needs to just make sure that they take an ounce of caution. I mean, a lot of the data has been really good. A lot of the side data has been really good. But this is still a very new drug. And new drugs, you know, take a while to sort of figure out what kind of long-term side effects can occur from it. So again, if you have obesity and need the help, then obviously this is the way to go, especially if you're pre-diabetic. Right now it's looking great, and again, it's a risk basis, you know, if you can, risk-reward basis. So where you end up taking the medication, knowing that it's a newer drug and it's an injectable drug.
I know it does feel like, though, you know, when you talk about if you are qualified, like pre-diabetic, it feels like those guidelines have really broadened substantially.
Yeah.
It feels like just about anyone could get clearance to get these drugs from their doctor.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, if we want to make a little bit of a correlation, how much controversy there is on vaccines and injectables, and yet we're now using, you know, this is probably one of the most popular drugs in the United States, and it's an injectable. So I just thought that was...
Well, I mean, it's like anything, right, Dr. Brown? I mean, I know that I kind of strike a nerve with people when I say that we don't want to change certain things, but it's okay to get tattoos or pierce our ears and cut our hair and things like that. Like, you know, it is interesting, for sure. I think that's the best way you could put it. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration announced significant action this week to make it faster and less costly to develop biosimilar development and biosimilar medicines. And of course, lower drug costs. And we're talking about really generic versions of drugs. And so Dr. Fred Brown, Griffin Health, is here. What'd you think about this, Dr. Brown?
Well, I actually think it's great. I really think this is a good thing. And let me talk about biosimilars and biologics just so people understand what they are, because I think that would be pretty helpful. So biologics, when we talk about biologics, that means it's derived from a living organism. So like a bacteria, a virus, or even animal cells, it actually develops. It develops antibodies, essentially, is the biggest thing that it develops antibodies to a particular area or disease or focus. So you can imagine if you have an abnormal immune system, you can give a biologic and it'll actually attack the cells that are attacking you. So that's what biologics are. They are expensive because they're difficult to make, but they can also be extremely helpful with patients like people who have rheumatologic diseases, people who have you hear quite a bit about that with inflammatory bowel disease like Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. They've actually really changed the way they are, but they are derived from living organisms.
So I know when this announcement happened this week, obviously, again, it comes down to trying to lower the drug prices. According mm-hmm. to the, again, Health and Human Services Secretary, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he says that biologics treat many chronic diseases, as you mentioned. And it says, but for too long, a burdensome approval process kept patients from accessing more affordable biosimilars. And mm-hmm. and so this really, again, accelerates the development, drives market competition, right. can expand, you know, patient options, obviously. And again, the big thing is bringing down the cost. But do you find with a lot, you know, Dr. Brown, and I know that's kind of a very vague statement, but a lot of times I've heard of processes being just far too slow at the federal level, for example, with the FDA, the CDC, you know, that approval processes are sometimes, you know, just too slow and we could be moving a lot quicker. So is that sort of what we're talking about here?
It is. Okay. It is. So I think what we're talking about when we talk about biosimilars is that we know from basic science what the issue is with some of these diseases and what areas we have to focus on when we use these medications. Biosimilars either focus on that same area or something adjacent to it. So it's basically the same thing. A biosimilar is a generic version of the biologics.
Okay.
The original biologic. So that's all we're really talking about. So the data has already been there. It's just a matter of proving that safety. And I think the concern is that I really believe that the FDA and the scientists that are there and the doctors and everyone else who's there do a great job in reviewing that. I think the concern becomes when it gets from the review to committee. And then it needs to go through, and again, we know how this goes, right? It has to go through a gazillion committees before it's approved when, you know, the science is pretty clear. So I think if you can cut away some of the bureaucracy, I think it can actually make it a lot much better. It would be better for the patients to have that. It'd be better, a lot less expensive to get it and a lot less expensive to sort of us for society.
Do we then take on the risk, though, Dr. Brown, of cutting corners or no?
I don't think so. I think even when we were, and I'm going to go back to COVID and say when we were doing the vaccines for COVID, I felt completely comfortable in how we got the vaccines out. In fact, we've ended up getting to the point where, you know, really the issues associated with vaccines were really not with contaminations or not what they're potentially doing, but really it was really just, okay, these are the side effects. I think that's a process. I think that cut out a lot of the bureaucracy and was able to streamline that process. And it's a good process as long as we follow to the rigors of, you know, making sure that it's safe and effective.
And I mean, according to FDA's website, it says to date, FDA has approved 76 biosimilars, corresponding to a small fraction of approved biologics. By contrast, it says there are more than 30,000 approved generics, exceeding the number of approved brand drugs. So it's quite significant. But when we talk about this, you know, again, these massive cost reductions from a move like this, you're talking about advanced treatments for things like cancer, autoimmune disorders, rare disorders that affect obviously a lot of people in America. But what about just generic drugs in general? So going back to the example of either weight loss medications or birth control, I don't know, just there's a lot of generic, obviously, versions. And a lot of times people will go with those because they are less costly. Are we talking about that with this change, or is that something that's more down the road? We're really focusing on the very costly medications needed specifically for, you know, things like cancer, autoimmune disorders, things like that.
Yeah, and I think we're talking more about the, you know, costly medications.
Okay.
Yeah, because I mean, and we're talking costly. We're talking, you know, could be as high as $100,000 a dose. I mean, it's very costly.
Yeah.
So as medications go, and they are biosimilars, biologics are very specific to certain targets. So you don't get sort of a generic or a regular medication. You can have sort of several different effects that occur. With this, it is a manipulation of the immune system. So it's literally focused on one aspect of either disease, the cancer, or even multiple sclerosis. There's several biologics that can do it, and they don't always work the same, and you may have to use different ones.
I think this is really fascinating, and I do wonder with this step forward if we could see more of this, I'd say, streamlining process, again, to really lower costs. I mean, especially because, you know, look, it doesn't take a genius to see where we're going, at least in the near future, with just health insurance costs. And then when you talk about drug costs, I would imagine this would also maybe make people who may not qualify for if you want to even call it more affordable insurance because of their drug needs, I would think that they might be also considered for more, I don't know, options for insurance, for example,
Absolutely.
If the cost of these drugs go down substantially.
Sure. And I think that being said, I think we need to look at the entire process because before we even move to a biologic, which is an injection, there are medications that are in the, we'll say, pharmaceutical pipeline that can prevent it without using an injectable. So I think it's important for us to realize that the science is the science around this has exploded. We just need to make sure that we're using the right things and, you know, that we're not developing, I'll put this in there, that we're not developing or trying to lower the most expensive drugs to make them, you know, less expensive, but they're still expensive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Makes a lot of sense. And really fascinating. I'm actually going to link the FDA's announcement this week to Dr. Brown's podcast if you want to read the whole thing and learn more about it. Dr. Brown, I appreciate always having our check-ins. Thank you so much. And we will talk again really soon.